Hello and welcome to Trashy Divorces, everybody's favorite good podcast about bad relationships. My name is Stacy.
Hey friends, Alicia here, and thank you for joining us for today's tale of marital misadventure.
What you got for us, Alicia?
This one's one of my favorites. We're pulling a terrific story out of our higher tier Patreon vault. I did this bonus divorce in the summertime of last year. What's the story? Babe Ruth, baseball legend, and the mysterious death of his wife, Helen, who wasn't living with Babe. She was living with her lover, not her husband. Poor Helen dies in a fire in 1929. It's a mystery. It's very trashy. It has some true crime. Really, really twisty, this one. Inman does stop in to TDHQ to help in his executive producing things.
He's a helper.
This one's a little looser than you normally hear on the main feed, but the story has everything. I don't want to reveal too much here, but I have so many questions. I think you're really, really, really going to like it.
Alicia, I think it's time to batter up.
And go, go, go.
All right, Alicia, it is bonus divorce
time
here on Ye Olde Patreon.
I love it. Hey, everybody, welcome to my bonus divorce for June, which has changed about nine times. I've got about nine other bonus divorces, but I got a hotline on something that a story I'd never heard before. It's got, I mean, a lot of stories I have a little bit of knowledge of. This one shocked me.
Popped out of nowhere.
Do y'all know about the time that Babe Ruth maybe killed his wife? What? Take me out of the ball game?
Wow. No, I don't know about this.
No, this is the most amazing story that I'd never heard. Maybe y'all haven't heard this either. I am pulling this information from a number of sites, but I'm mainly using RetroSimba.com. There's a lot of articles about this. I've gone to the New York Times, but I think this does a really good job with summing it up.
Okay.
Okay, so welcome to the almost not trashy divorce of Babe Ruth and his wife Helen, because she dies.
Wow.
It's a little bit of true crime in a very mysterious fire.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah. Now I'm wondering if maybe they shouldn't have named that candy bar after the guy.
No. Like, I've got a lot of questions. I've got a lot of questions about this. So,
all right. Bring us out to the ball game, Alicia. Ooh.
3 months after Babe Ruth powered the Yankees to the World Series sweep of the Cardinals, Babe experienced a shocking personal loss and became enmeshed in scandal with the death of his wife. This happens January 11th, 1929, that Babe Ruth's wife, Helen Ruth, was killed in a house fire in Watertown, Massachusetts, near Boston.
That seems tragic. Were they solid?
No.
Okay.
100% no. Let me give you a little bit about Helen. Helen Ruth was residing in a house with a dentist whose name was Edward Kinder. And Helen and Babe had been separated, but not divorced. And all the neighbors in Watertown knew Helen as Mrs. Kinder, the dentist's wife.
Oh, God.
They didn't know that she was Babe Ruth's wife.
Do you want me to open the door?
Sure. Inman says he loves baseball and wants to hear all about this trashy summertime story.
Come on in, slugger.
Come on, slugger. Here we go.
Come on.
Yep.
Come on.
Come help me, EP.
Yep. Come on. You demanded.
I bring the fire, you guys.
We acquiesce. Come on.
Well, we're waiting for Inman to not delay this story any longer. Don't forget Salon this weekend. Come out and hang out with us on June 25th at 3:30. Now Inman is molesting Stacy's face a little bit. Okay, back to the story. Thank you, Inman, for helping.
You're welcome.
The neighbors know Helen as dentist wife, Mrs. Kinder.
So this is her new, this is not a roommate situation. This is, she has moved on. Okay.
Oh, Helen has moved on with Eddie, Helen and Eddie. It's not only the neighbors, though, that think Helen is Eddie's wife. Edward's family thinks that Helen is Edward's wife, too. But Helen and Eddie are not married. Okay, that's the setup. Helen, not married to Eddie, still married to Babe, was alone in the house when the fire started. And although authorities determined the fire and Helen's death were accidental, this tragedy creates suspicion and reveals stunning secrets about Babe and his wife.
Dun dun.
Exactly. So let's talk about young love and how Babe and Helen get together.
Okay.
Babe makes his major league debut. It's so weird for me to say Babe because it's always Paley. Mm-hmm. It's never Ruth. Okay, Babe Ruth. Sorry. Babe Ruth.
Babe Paley makes her major league baseball debut.
No. Another Babe. There's more than one Babe, believe it or not. So Babe Ruth makes his major league debut as a pitcher for the Red Sox in July 1914.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he's mature in the field now. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Old enough to know better than to kill your wife after you've had a meeting with your lawyers the few weeks. It's shady. Okay, so Babe at this time, 1914, he rents a room in Boston because he's playing for the Red Sox, mm-hmm. which is great. And Babe will frequently take his meals at a luncheonette around the corner.
$2 a week for the room. Another $2 a week for the food.
Blue plate specials, sure. Right? So he
goes to
this luncheonette.
Those were the days.
And Helen Woodford, sweet Helen, was a waitress there at the luncheonette. And she and Babe connect. And this begins their love story. 3 months later, on October 17th, 1914, Babe, now being an experienced man of 19, and Helen, at the age of 16, were married by Reverend Thomas S. Dolan in St. Paul's Catholic Church in Ellicott City, Maryland, near where Babe had attended boarding school. Babe and Helen, young newlyweds, get an apartment in Boston's Back Bay neighborhood.
$4 a week?
Probably. You can't afford Back Bay right now. They live there until 1919. They live there for 5 years on the Back Bay, presumably happy. And then Babe, you know, making a little bit more than $2 a week, buys a 16-room house in Sudbury, Massachusetts. This is all according to the Boston Globe.
Low price of $18,000.
Right. So December 1919, the Red Sox sell Babe's contract to the Yankees. Okay. Babe and Helen will live in an 8-room hotel suite in Manhattan during the baseball seasons, but return to their Sudbury, Massachusetts estate in the wintertime.
Sure.
Fantastic. Move the time frame along to September 1922. Babe and Helen surprise the whole Yankee baseball team when they bring a 15-month-year-old girl named Dorothy.
Wait, 15-month or year?
15-month.
15-month-old baby.
15-month-old baby named Dorothy to the polo grounds and introduce Dorothy as the daughter of Helen and Babe. But the Boston Globe reports that not even his closest friend on the team had suspected Ruth was a father. A little curious.
That is a little weird. So they stole a baby.
Dorothy was raised to believe that Helen was her biological mother.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not true. Years later, it was learned that Babe Ruth and Helen adopted Dorothy in 1921. In a book that she wrote, Dorothy revealed that she discovered at age 59.
Wow.
In 1980, that her biological mother was a lady named Juanita Jennings, a woman who had an affair with Babe Ruth in 1920.
Okay.
As a young girl, little Dorothy knows Juanita Jennings' Aunt Nita. She's a family friend.
Wow, that's awkward.
A little bit awkward. Okay, so we're caught up. We're going to kick you back out, dude. This is not what we're doing today.
Can I be on the table?
You can be on the table or outside. You pick. So that's a little shady.
Mm.
So Helen has a baby that isn't hers. Aunt Nita's hanging around. Babe playing for the Yankees.
Babe's girlfriend.
Okay.
Okay.
Shady. We think of Babe Ruth as like this big hero. Maybe. I don't know. Hero of baseball. Legend of baseball. He was apparently pretty trashy. Just wait until 1923. In 1923, Babe is going to meet Claire Hodgson. Now, old Claire, young Claire, actually, I should say, is a daughter of an attorney from Georgia who did legal work for Ty Cobb. And Claire and her daughter, Julia, moved to New York after Claire's husband dies in 1921, and Claire will launch a career as a model and a Broadway chorus line performer.
Okay.
Babe also becomes a frequent visitor to Claire's Manhattan apartment.
Interesting.
As the New York Daily News reports.
Probably just friends.
Probably friends. By August 1925, Helen and Dorothy, Helen,
wife.
Babe's real wife, and Dorothy,
daughter of mysterious origins. Mm-hmm.
Helen and Dorothy go to live full time at the house in Sudbury, and Babe remains in New York year round.
Claire. Great.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, in 1927, Helen moves in to the Waterton house of dentist Edward Kinder. Now, let me tell you about Edward and Helen, because Eddie and Helen are the real love story here. They'd known each other since childhood, and their families lived in the same South Boston neighborhood. And Edward was a World War I veteran, graduated from Tufts Dental School in 1924, and established a practice in Boston. It sounds like maybe, right? Edward went to war, Helen working at the luncheonette, meets Babe. Maybe Eddie's never going to come back from war. Maybe I should take my chances because I'm 16 and I'm going to be an old maid if I don't. I'm not sure what Helen was
thinking.
Plus,
I'm sure a 19-year-old baseball player is athletic and hot and exciting and all that. Okay.
You're the hero of the Red Sox? Fantastic. Okay. But it's really Helen and Eddie who are the real big love story here. So neighbors say Helen was known to them as Mrs. Kinder, and she goes by Dorothy Kinder. And Eddie's brother William said the Kinder family was thoroughly under the impression that Edward and Helen got married in Montreal in 1927.
Wow, yeah. Boyfriend in Canada.
Well, boyfriend, husband in Canada. The following year, 1928, the Watertown City Directory listed Kinder Edward and Helen M. Dentist. So on all viewable surfaces, Edward and Helen are married, living in Watertown. She's the wife of a dentist.
There's some Babe Ruth erasure happening here.
So during the separation from his wife, Babe and his career is actually on fire. He hits a record 60 home runs for the Yankees in 1927 and bats a .625 against the Cardinals in the 1928 World Series.
Those are good stats.
So dropping Helen hasn't diminished Babe's game at all, apparently.
Picking up Claire.
Okay, so now we're going to get to the true crime, the inciting incident.
Hey, all you true crime fans, this is Mike Ferguson.
And this is Mike Morph.
And we'd like to invite you to listen to our podcast, Criminology.
Launched in 2017, we've covered a variety of strange cases from murders to missing persons. Some of the cases are ones you may not have heard of.
Other cases we cover are some of the most historic in true crime. There are 200 episodes of Criminology available to binge on right now. And new episodes come out every Saturday night.
Subscribe to Criminology today, wherever you listen to your podcast.
On Friday night, January 11th, 1929, Eddie has a fun night planned at the boxing matches at the Boston Garden. And 7-year-old Dorothy is at Catholic boarding school in Wesley, Massachusetts. So Helen, all right, free night. Eddie's down at the games. I'm going to settle in into my Waterton house. I'm going to take some sleeping pills and turn on the radio and fall asleep in the second floor bedroom. Cool. Got everybody out of the house, having a little Helen time, having a little me time.
Mm-hmm.
But at 10 p.m., a passerby sees smoke seeping from the windows, and firefighters arrive and flames by this time, by the time the firefighters get there, the flames had reached the second story, and Helen, sadly, is found dead on the bedroom floor. Because of the sleeping pills, according to the first on scene,
sure,
Helen just didn't wake up by the smoke and flames until it was too late. This is what the New York Daily News reports. Helen's body is taken to a hospital and then to the Undertakers. And Edward is paged at Boston Garden. Can you imagine? Edward Kinder, come to the phone. Edward Kinder, right?
Yeah.
Terrible. And Edward here gets on the telephone. He's told that a woman died in a fire in his house. The detective finds him. We got a dead woman in your house, man. You know who this is. And Edward tells medical examiner George West, "She's my wife. Her name is Helen Kinder." George West, the medical examiner, does an autopsy, but his examination was a little limited because, the corpse had already been embalmed by undertakers. Yeah. So in his report, in West's report to the district attorney, his name is Robert Bushnell, George West determined that there was no indication of violence and the condition of the body was consistent with a theory of death from suffocation in a fire. This is what the Boston Globe reports. The state fire inspector also files his report. And the fire inspector's like, yeah, this fire was caused by overloaded electrical wires, and there were traces of amateur repair work where the wires had been fixed but not soldered. We need some Terrence Howard around
here.
Yeah,
right.
Because of the way the work was done, this leaves a chance for a short circuit and a fire. So,
sure.
Fire examiner's like, shoddy electrical work. The medical examiner's like, I didn't see any evidence of trauma. Like, this story sort of checks out. So, the district attorney, Robert Bushnell, concludes that there's no evidence of anything criminal here, and Helen's body is released to her husband, Edward, for burial. And based on Edward's remarks, the medical examiner prepares a death certificate identifying the deceased as Helen Kinder, wife of Edward. Edward is going to spend the weekend in seclusion at the home of his parents in South Boston, and Edward, for his wife Helen, arranges to have her buried Sunday, January 13th, in the Kinder family plot at St. Joseph's Cemetery in West Roxbury, Massachusetts. We come to a little part called Mistaken Identity. So in reading newspaper accounts of the fire, Helen's relatives recognize published pictures of the victim, Helen. And they're like, hey, who's this Edward Kinder dude? That's Helen Ruth.
Yeah, wife of baseball superstar
That's
Babe.
Helen's family. Helen's married to Babe Ruth. So Helen's family, gets on the phone, calls the police, and the police are like, whoa, what the hell's going on around here? So the police put a halt to Helen's burial plans. This is New York Daily News reports this. So Babe Ruth gets a little contact in New York, and Babe Ruth arrives in Boston on train January 13th, the day Helen was supposed to be buried. Babe will tell reporters, "My wife and I have not lived together for the last 3 years. During that time, I have seldom met her. I have done all that I can do to comply with her wishes. Her death is a great shock to me." Okay. It gets shadier. You ready? This story is just so tricky, y'all. The next day, Monday, January 14th, Edward Kinder, along with his attorney, arrive at the Watertown Police Station, and he was questioned by a group led by Police Chief John Milmore. Edward tells the police that, yeah, you found us out. Me and Helen weren't married. And Edward then claims he never tried to convey to anyone Helen was his wife. When asked about telling the medical examiner the victim was Helen Kinder, Edward denied making that statement and later says he doesn't remember. The police probably are like, dude, you lost your affair. You lost your mistress. You told your neighbors, okay, we get it. Nobody thinks Edward's explanations are fishy. Like, that all makes sense. Like, no, we weren't married, but what would the neighbors say? So we just pretended to be married.
Right, because she's still... like, she can't marry him. It would be bigamist if she did. So,
right.
Like...
so we're, but Babe's out of the picture.
But like, this is true love.
They've been separated for 3 years. And did I mention that I was in love with Helen before I went to war?
My wife in all but name, yeah.
Okay. So the police are satisfied. However, Helen's mom and sisters and brothers are demanding a more thorough investigation because they are suspicious of both... Babe Ruth and Edward Kinder, but for different reasons. Do you feel like you're on Dateline?
A little bit.
Okay. She had a smile that lit up a room.
Poor Helen.
So, motive for murder. So, Nora Woodford, Nora is Helen's sister. And Nora goes to the police and is like, listen, you guys, I accompanied Helen to a meeting with Babe Ruth on December 10th, 1928, a mere 31 days before this suspicious fire. We went to that meeting, Helen and I did, Nora says, at Yankee headquarters. And Nora says Babe Ruth asked Helen for a divorce so Babe could marry Claire Hodgson. Helen's like, cool, Babe. I'm happy to do that. I would like $100,000. And Babe is like, hell no. I'm not giving you $100,000, and stormed out of the room. Did I mention a month later, Helen's dead? So meanwhile, on the Edwards side, federal narcotics agents are looking into reports that Edward supplied Helen with opium, according to the New York Daily News. Helen has a brother. His name is Thomas Woodford. And Tommy is a former Boston policeman. And Tommy has been around, you know, the precinct a few times. And Tommy suggests that Helen was drugged with opium and the house was deliberately set on fire. Uh-oh. What to do?
Yeah.
All right. So the district attorney, Robert Bushnell, is like, crap, I guess I better resolve this. So Bushnell orders a second autopsy and brings in an expert pathologist, Constance Brennan. I'm just kidding. Not Bones. His name is George McGrath. And a team from Harvard. Okay. There's a lot going on in this. Isn't this, like, just incredible? Okay, so meanwhile, Babe Ruth meets reporters in his suite at the Hotel Brunswick in Boston. The Boston Globe reports it this way. It's very dramatic. With red-rimmed eyes and a quivering chin, Babe Ruth spoke in trembling tones about the grief he felt. According to the Boston Globe, Babe, his great chest rose and fell. He gulped audibly and his eyes filled as he dabbed at them with his big hands.
Yeah, sure.
For fully 5 minutes, he struggled for control of his feelings and emotions. Was Claire in the bathroom, dude? Come on. All right, so January 16th. I guess the Robert Bushnell investigation lasts another day and a half. He's not going real far. January 16th. The results of the second autopsy from the people at Harvard and the pathologist confirmed that Helen's death was by suffocation from a fire and there were no signs of foul play. Also, the narcotics agents come up empty in their search for opium at Edward's dental office, and they can't find any evidence that Helen was prescribed opiates. In addition, this guy named Ellis Dennis, is the state electrical examiner, and he confirms the fire started in a partition on the first floor near a wall receptacle. Ellis Dennis said the original wiring in the house was excellent, but additional wiring installed later was of a faulty and amorous sort, placing too great a load on the circuit wires and receptacle. At this point, a scant week later, bury it. Bury Helen, bury the story. We're done with this. It's too much.
Well, it seems like all of the original findings have been confirmed by additional investigation, right?
Perhaps. So the district attorney declares the investigations closed and releases Helen's poor body, who's been through 9 autopsies now, back to Helen's family. There is a 7-minute funeral service, 7 minutes, held at the home of Helen's mother. This is January 17th. There is a burial at Old Calvary Catholic Cemetery in Dorchester, Massachusetts, and Babe is present at the service and the burial. Eddie doesn't come to either.
Hmm.
Which would have been awkward.
Agreed.
Between husband and Mr. Yeah.
Did Babe bring Claire?
Well, hold up.
Oh, God.
I mean, he doesn't, but it's bad. Babe goes and really puts on a show. The New York Daily News reports at the cemetery, quote, tears streamed down Babe's tanned cheeks as he saw the body of his wife lowered to its grave. Unmindful of the snow, which fell from a gray sky. The babe, hat clutched in his huge hand, stood among his wife's relatives, sobbing.
They're real big on hand size in this era.
Don't tell Donald Trump. Okay. After the funeral, Babe returns back to New York City with his daughter, Dorothy. 3 months later, April 17th, 1929, guess who gets married?
Is it Babe Ruth?
Babe and Claire.
Mazel.
Yeah, the next day, the Yankees open their season at home against the Red Sox. And at Babe's first at-bat, he hits a home run. The New York Times reports, as he rounded second base, he doffed his cap with a great flourish in the direction of a box behind third base where, huddled in fur, sat his bride of 2 days, the former Mrs. Claire Hodgson. Mm-hmm. Babe and Claire remained married until his death in 1948. It all sounds fishy to me.
Is that the extent of what
That's the extent of the story. I just never heard that Babe Ruth had been questioned, that he had any... Like, we hear about Babe Ruth, the baseball legend.
Right.
Who's so awesome, but maybe...
Maybe he just saved himself $100,000.
Maybe Edward was getting tired of Helen, too. I don't know. There's a mystery there. Also, really important lesson, don't do electrical work yourself unless you're trained to do electrical work. I cannot stress this enough.
Especially in the 1920s. Like, should you really find yourself in possession of a time machine, be very careful. Like, we complain about old wiring, and the old wiring dates from sometimes that period.
But it is weird. The thing that's weird to me is that the original wiring of the home is rock solid. So who... I have so many more questions.
Well, the description was that it was at a partition, which makes me think that a large home may have been divided into several smaller apartments. Not sure.
I think it's a single family home. It's very odd to me. I don't know if I'd let this go. I see why Helen's family, her mom, her brother, her sister, were all very suspicious. I can imagine that was frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
Like, my sister just shouldn't end up in a fire dead from, yeah. But because she's embalmed, there's no way to do, like, real toxicology.
And I'm sure toxicology back then was not, like, super advanced.
Well, it's better than just not doing anything.
Agreed.
Anyway, there's a little true crime bend on a pretty trashy story that I'd never heard before. I wanted to share that with y'all. Did y'all know that story?
Well, and I'm sure the Yankees organization put what pressure they could to make that stop.
Well, and now Babe's married again, so we have a cute new wife, and it's all fine. Mm-hmm. So let's, you know, go.
Let's all forget.
Yeah, take me out to the ball game. Mm-hmm. Don't remember that first wife who was living in sin with the drugged up dentist. Y'all, when people say, like, it didn't used to be trashy in the past.
Psh, wrong.
Wrong. So trashy. So I hope I did not discourage you about the legend of Babe Ruth, who was slung up in all the scandal that just mysteriously went away after a week and nobody mentioned Helen again. Except for Dorothy, who finds out Helen isn't her mom in 1980. What a trash bag.
What a story. All right. Well, whew. That's a good bonus divorce there.
It's so different than what I had planned, but the more I found out about this, I'm like, y'all.
Yeah, that's...
You need to know this story.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Whoa. Anyway. Whew, friends. Babe Ruth. Maybe a murderer.
Maybe a murderer.
Maybe a great baseball player. Why can't he be both?
Could be both.
There's shady things. If I was Helen's family, I would have so many questions.
For sure.
Not enough investigation has been done, but that's why we're here, to investigate. Y'all, thank you for tuning in. Y'all are the very best. Don't forget Salon this Sunday. Can't wait to see ya. Check your Patreon feed for all those Zoom details. And wow, have a great weekend. Summertime, we're in Cancer season now. Summertime, summer equinox happening. We're recording this a little early. Summer equinox happened yesterday, friends. Wednesday, June 21st. We are at summer equinox time.
Tomorrow.
Correct, but this is coming out on Thursday, so
Yeah,
we're in a time warp.
Yes. Happy solstice.
Happy solstice.
Not equinox.
Oh, sorry, solstice.
Happy summer solstice, or winter solstice for you.
That's it.
Down under.
I'm so glad you always know what I mean. Happy summer solstice, friends. Mm-hmm. We're heading into a sizzling season of trashy divorces for the summertime. Thanks, everybody.
And the living
is easy. The living's easy for Inman, who's about to get kicked out of this office.
I was going to say, I don't know if the living's so easy for Inman. He's in a mood. I'm in a mood. He's in a mood. It's just a moody day here.
So there we go. Clean hands.
Trashy hearts. Snuggly kittens.
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your cats are? Yes. They're annoying me as I'm trying to put out a good podcast product.
Looks like he's about to take a nap, so...
Big love, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Bye. And thanks to you for listening. Trashy Divorces is a Hemlock Creatives production, created and produced right here in Atlanta, Georgia, by us, Stacy and Alicia, with a little research and writing help from the brilliant Melissa O.
Our art is by Sydney V. Smith. That's Sydney V. Smith at carbonmade.com. And our music is used with permission of Ratsy. Check her out at Ratsy's Store on Instagram, and definitely drop into Ratsy's Store anytime you're in Oberlin, Ohio.
You can contact us at trashydivorces@gmail.com or find us on the World Wide Web at trashydivorces.com.
If you need more trash candy in your life, our Patreon community includes some of the very best humans around and thousands of hours of bonus content at every level of support. Join the fun at patreon.com/trashydivorces.
Interested in some Trashy Divorces swag? Check out our merch shop and Trash Panda Enthusiasm Society at bit.ly/trashygear.
Want to advertise with us? Reach out to sales@advertisecast.com for more information.
And last but not least, come play with us on social media. I keep most of our Trashy Divorces Instagram hopping. Stacy and I share it up over on Facebook, including our Trashy Divorces podcast discussion group. Come join us over there, and thanks again, everybody, for listening.
Keep it trashy, y'all.